I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. This is going to be part one of the MLB Trade Rumors Top 50 Free Agents, and we are going to be covering names 41 through 50. I am your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X, Smith _MLB. With me tonight, I have Terry Cushman at Cushman MLB, and Jeremy Schilling, as always, at JT Schill 20 with two L's. How are you gents doing?
Great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Terrence. Great.
Waiting for the action to start. Is this the week of the, I'll look it up, but, and I probably should have before we came on, but the GM meetings are coming up and
not yet. Yeah, we're close.
Yeah. It's either this week or the week after. But not a ton of action goes down. I think it's a more of a due diligence week on the part of the executives on, you know, which teams are willing to trade, and they meet with agents to kind of compare notes. So
yeah,
something could happen, but yeah, who knows?
You're short by a day. So it's the 10th through the 13th this year. It's actually going to be in Vegas, but you're okay. Almost there. Yeah. You're really close. So I think what, like a year or two ago, it was in Hawaii. So they'll go to fun places sometimes.
It's usually in a warm weather place. I know, yeah. Phoenix was one, San Diego was one. And then the winter meetings is where a lot of action goes down. That's usually the second week or so of December. And
right.
So, and that, I don't know where that is, but again, usually a warm weather place.
Absolutely. So without further ado, number 50 on our list for the top MLB free agents, we have Willie Castro. Willie Castro is a second baseman, shortstop, outfielder. I always remember him being like a super utility guy. Regarding the readers here, or the writers rather, from MLB Trade Rumors, we've got two saying he's going to go to the Padres, one going to the Athletics, one going to the Brewers, signing what could be a two-year, $14 million deal. Terry, why don't you lead us off?
So, I mean, I don't know if he's going to profile as a starting catcher or perhaps the backup catcher. So, you know, 60 games or 100 games a year. But so I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I know the needs of the teams listed. But, you know, that's about what he is. He's projected 2 years, $14 million. I guess the Padres was a popular pick. So were the Brewers. So, not sure. As far as the Red Sox go, this isn't a guy I'm interested in. He does have decent offensive numbers, but for much of the last 4 years, he's had a negative defensive war. So I don't think we need another bad defensive catcher. Narvaez is good. Connor Wong is not, but hey, not a fit for the Red Sox.
Willie Castro is not a catcher. That's one of the only positions he can't crap. Play. He's a utility infield / outfielder, I remember him. It's all good. But I want to make sure that, you know, to protect your take here. why don't you start?
My take
over?
Is in the septic system.
The next
guy on the list is a catcher.
That's correct.
We'll get to it.
Cool. All right. Well,
we're live, so there's no take back.
Yeah, there's no takesies backsies.
Jeremy, go ahead.
I still stand by. He is not a fit for the Red Sox.
He is not. I agree.
Capacity. So
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, that part was going to be my point. This team needs a bench utility infielder that's not great defensively. He's not on that list. Romy's going to be here. Marcelo Mayer will be back. Story opted in. He doesn't play first base, which is where we really have a need, and he's not a starting third baseman. So infield depth isn't our issue. What we need is a starting first baseman and a starting third baseman, one of which has to hit for power. Big power. So this is a player that could help a team like the Brewers or the Padres that were already in the playoffs kind of round out their bench. But that's not what this team's looking for, the Sox anyways. So I'm a solid pass on Willie Castro.
For all the reasons that you guys said, even if he did play as a catcher, he wouldn't fit in Boston. And for all the reasons you just mentioned, Jeremy, we need a first baseman. He doesn't play first. This is not the answer. You don't need another bench guy on this team. So absolutely 100% out on him. Nothing else to add. Number 49 on this list is Victor Caratini. He is a catcher. He's also projected 2 years, $14 million. And then we have three of a kind here. Three of the four writers have him going to the Rays. One has him going to the Rangers. So, Jeremy, why don't you lead us off with Victor Caratini, a catcher, again, projected 2 years, $14 million, former Houston Astro.
So, as it directly relates to the Red Sox, I don't see it. Connor Wong is under contract, and Narvaez is your catcher, at least for the next, I would think, 3+ years. So there just isn't a need here. At the deadline, I was on the show, and one of the spots I thought we could improve the roster for a run was backup catcher. And that might happen again in season during the deadline, but I don't think this is a spot that going into the season you need to address. Wong broke his finger in the first month of the season, and I think that was a large reason for his dip in offensive production. I think he'll be better than he was last year. And if he is, and Narvaez is catching 4 or 5 games a week, I don't think you need to spend what's projected here is $7 million a year for a backup catcher. That's just not a need right now.
Terry, anything else you want to add?
I mean, a year ago, Caratini probably would have been a fit for the Red Sox. He is a very good defensive catcher, probably a slightly above average offensive catcher. But then you got Narvaez. I don't honestly know what he is. He had 8 very stout weeks offensively. He was very good defensively throughout the entirety of the season. And you know, I just don't see a fit for Caratini unless they do move on from Wong. If they fully intend to move him, you know, that would be a nice tandem between Narvaez and Caratini. I'm surprised the Astros just don't keep him for as good as he is. But the Red Sox definitely, I think, have an identity crisis at catcher. Because we don't know what Narvaez is. We know what Connor Wong is. We just don't know where the floor is after how bad he was last year. But yeah.
Jeremy.
I already gave my take, Charlie. I think it's your turn, buddy.
Really straightforward to Victor. No, thank you. This is not the position that we need to be reinforcing and or investing any money, time, anything in, on top of the fact that he played for the Houston Astros, and I'm good with all of them. So don't need him, don't want him, toodaloo. Number 48 on this list, Max Scherzer. He is projected to get a one-year, $15 million deal. It is expected that he could go to the Giants, the Blue Jays, the Guardians, or the Tigers. I'm going to go first on this one. Max Scherzer was a pitcher that I wanted 10 years ago. Max Scherzer is now 41 years old. I don't need him in his age 42 season. This is a guy who couldn't stay healthy this year, had an ERA over 5. His strikeouts per 9 were under 9. If you're reaching for Max Scherzer and you're spending, or you're not investing, you're spending $15 million in a guy who's been in the league a very, very long time and he's had an incredible career, you're going after Max Scherzer 10 years too late. This is not a name that I want. This is not a name that I think we need. And I think that if you're going to try to tell your fan base that this is the direction that you're going in, you're not really saying that you're here to win. I'm sorry, but I'm out on Scherzer. Terry.
If Heim were still here, Scherzer would have been signed yesterday. I mean, that's a Heim, you know, that's a Heim special right there. Like Charlie said, 42 years old. He had a 5.19 ERA. Somehow in the postseason, he flipped the script and gave the Blue Jays some really good quality innings, gave them a chance to win a couple of games there. And it was fun to watch, but do I trust him at age 42 over 162 game season? I mean, we've got guys that have been injured off and on, you know, quite a bit. So not a fit for the Red Sox. Honestly, if Scherzer wants to be relevant, put him in the bullpen. See what he can do in the bullpen. I think he could probably give you a solid inning. He can find two pitches he can still really command, really dominate with. I think that's how he should be utilized.
Wow, I didn't expect that. I that's a good take, Terry. I agree with you. Yeah, so if this was 2 or 3 years ago, this is where I would think the Sox would jump on. You know, historically great player at the end of his career. You were never going to pay him $30 or $40 million, but now you can get him for like 12 to 15. Here come the Red Sox. However, I don't see it. And it's simply for the fact that this team's starting pitching depth is tremendous as we sit here right now, while we're also getting Hauk, Dobbins back. I'm missing somebody else too. Cutter Crawford. I just don't think that a financially hamstrung team, John Henry's not going to spend over the cap, should go spend $15 million on Max Scherzer. It doesn't fit this roster.
It just doesn't make sense. You know, it's just another one. So far we're all aligned. I mean, these are not solution solvers for the Sox. Next on list is number 47, Tyler Mahle. 1 year, $15 million, crazy money. Athletics, Cubs, Stros, and Diamondbacks. Mahle had a good year last year. He's 30 years old, his second year out of Texas in 2024. Only had 3 starts last year, had 16, had a sub 9 K9. His strikeout per 9 was 6.9. ERA, though, 2.18, 6-4 and 16 starts. If we're spending $15 million on that, I feel like I'd rather spend an extra $5 million and get like a proper starter in there. This guy's not going to be blowing anybody away. He's, you know, still got kind of got like a funky walk to 9, you know, 3.0 walk to 9, walk to strikeout ratio. I just doesn't blow me away. I've never been like super ecstatic about seeing this dude pitch. I mean, he had one really good year, and outside of that, he's been mid or below average. So I'm out on Tyler Mahle too. So another one, just no. Jeremy, why don't you go second on Tyler Mahle?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same take. If you're going to go get a guy outside the organization, which I do think they should do and need to do, I think it needs to be a reliable number two. That's not this player. He has health concerns up and down his last 4 seasons, including last year. That's not that's a reclamation project at the end of the rotation where if you hit on it, he's already here and you have a chance to re-sign him. Or if he gets healthy, you at least get him for one good year. But that's not what this team needs. This team has plenty of starting pitchers. We need a reliable top-end guy like a Joe Ryan to slot into the number two. And I think your starting rotation is very, very robust, to use Terry's term, going into the start of 2026.
Terrence.
I didn't know I had a term. But
you love using that, robust.
Here's the bad news. It is a word I use.
Yeah. The light bulb did go off when you said it, but prior to that. So 2 years ago, Tyler Mahle, hot name. And the Rangers ended up getting him. I think there was a big faction of the Red Sox fan base that wanted him. Here's the scary thing. I can actually envision Breslow doing it, like targeting a guy like this. And I don't, if he could be healthy, I would say absolutely. And let's see what you can get out of him. The 6.9 strikeout per nine that Charlie was mentioning, you know, I shouldn't say well below league average, but it is below league average. And he made 14 starts last year through June 10th and then only made two more, which happened in late September. So again, you need durability. You need horses in this rotation that can give you, we used to say 200 innings, and then I think we lowered the bar to 150. So you got to get at least 150, 180 out of him. And I just don't know that he's the guy that's going to do that for you.
There's only one team in Major League Baseball that stockpiles starting pitchers like it's whatever. There's only one team, and they've won the World Series 2 years in a row. They're like, oh, you want to come play for us? All right, cool. It's going to be league minimum, but you'll pitch. Maybe. We'll see. They go into the season with 13 starters. Every other team.
And they have a.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And they have a program that they know is breaking these guys, and they still do it, you know,
and they still win. I mean, people are willing to do whatever. You see Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow all going over there. If you can't beat them, join them. And they're doing it in year one. So, I mean, Michael Conforto, for example, washed, absolutely got his ring. He's done. I don't think another team's going to give him a chance. If he shows up, because we're not going to foreshadow this. If he shows up, I don't want him either. But yeah, man, I mean, if you're not stockpiling starting pitcher, if you really think you have like an incredible program, all right, great. We'll show it, because you got to get past the, you know, wild card series. Otherwise, what are we doing? That's it for Mahle. Next on our list is Emilio Pagan. Emilio Pagan, three of the four. You got three of a kind. Three of the writers have him going to the Reds. One has him going to the Diamondbacks. Jeremy, why don't you lead us off on Emilio Pagan?
Yeah, I don't want to recycle takes, but this is kind of the same spot. The only place we really should be looking to upgrade from outside the organization is that two spot. This guy is not that. And, you know, injury last year, 4.5 ERA when healthy. I mean, this isn't something we need to be looking into here. Yeah, it's Joe Ryan, Dylan Cease in the two spot. Get your guys healthy and figure out who's going to start in Boston, who's going to start in Worcester, and who you might put in the bullpen.
Derry.
So I want to point this out so that I don't continually recycle takes. The Red Sox are sitting right now with their payroll at $219 million. The luxury tax threshold is $244. So we've got $25 million to play with. And, you know, when you look at $8 million a year, that's a big chunk of the $25 you have. I am skeptical that this team is going to go over the luxury tax for the second year in a row with a potential strike looming, not knowing, I'm sure they want the salary cap, but not knowing whether they're going to get it or not. I don't know. I'm skeptical that this is going to be the season we go big again. However, Alex Speer did tweet out this week. He very much expects this team to be very aggressive this year, perhaps more aggressive than last year. So I don't know what to believe. I mean, he hangs out with the Nesson guys a lot. I don't know if he's technically a Nesson employee, but you know, so he's probably somewhat in the know. So with that said, with Pagan, I mean, he's a very good right-handed reliever. You know, he does have a 10.6 strikeout per nine. Relievers can get up to, you know, 12, 13. They can be like a lot more off the charts compared to starting pitchers because they're only going out there for one inning. And, you know, a lot of them are in those positions because they are punch out guys. So 2.88 ERA this year, the year before, not quite as good, 4.50, but 2.99 in 2023. Is my audio okay?
Yeah, no, you sound good. Yeah,
it's good. It's weird in my ear. Maybe it's my headset. But so, yeah, could we use a guy like this? Absolutely. Are they going to spend that kind of money on a guy like this?
No.
I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, too. I'm really quickly, if you don't have Garrett Whitlock, I can understand why a team would do that. Would he be worth $8 million? Probably. But, I mean, we keep doing these reclamation project deals that just don't work out. Like, we're going after people like Liam Hendricks, who didn't pitch for a year, and then we had him, and then he blew it up. Then we had, oh my God, what's the name of that starter who was injured all this year and he's pitching next year? Sandoval. Patrick Sandoval is going to pitch for us this year. No idea what's going to happen with that one, but it's like, you know, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. Like Lucas Giolito did great in year two. Year one was a non-factor and then he didn't get to pitch at the end of the year and wasn't here for the postseason. So that really, really hurt. I'm also thinking the same thing. You know, if this guy didn't give up as many tanks during the regular season, I think there's a probability or possibility that he would be here, but Garrett Whitlock also stops that from being the case. I apologize. My dog's barking in the background. So Emilio Pagan, we're all out on him. Next guy, I'm going to start off on this one. Gregory Soto, 2-year, $60 million deal. Blue Jays, Mets, and Athletics are the four projections for this guy. I don't see him coming to Boston. This guy is, you know, on paper, 30 years old from the Dominican Republic. You know, sorry, but there's a chance that he's probably older. I don't know. I'm not in or down for this guy at all. I don't think he's going to move the needle. And same thing. If we're not going to go after a guy like Pagan, we're not going to go after a guy like Soto. So out on Soto. Terry, why don't you go second?
Yeah, I don't really have much of a take here. I mean, there's not a ton of upside with him. I mean, Andrew Bailey would probably have to kind of, you know, retool some stuff, and for $8 million a year, I just not a fit.
Yeah, I don't have much of a take either. Throws hard, has a history of putting people on base. I read a stat. He hit 11 batters and had 10 wild pitches. That seems high. That's crazy, you know. So I don't see a fit here with the Sox.
It's going to go by pretty quick with some of these names. I mean, these are not the sexiest names. So, you know, facts are facts here. The next name on our list is number 44, which is Pete Fairbanks, is projected to get a 2-year, $18 million deal. Marlins, Cubs, and Blue Jays. Jeremy, do you want to go first? If not, I'll go first.
Whatever. No, I mean, I'll go first. And this is a guy that years ago I thought was going to be, frankly, a lot better than he is. A guy that I thought the Rays would trade when they inevitably weren't going to pay him, but he never really ascended to that consistent level of getting people out. Again, I don't see a fit on this team it doesn't make sense from a Red Sox perspective, but I just don't see a fit.
Yeah. Terry.
Honestly, Fairbanks is the guy I like the most so far in this show. The only reservation I have is, you know, he is somewhat injury prone. Was on the injured list, I think, a couple of times with, you know, some relatively minor injuries. But, you know, the strikeout rate isn't quite what it used to be. But if we could get him on a one-year deal, I would absolutely be interested. I mean, you look at his previous seasons since the end of the pandemic, he's actually been fantastic and, you know, pitched a lot of late innings. Outside of Whitlock and Chapman, this is who you have right now. You've got Slayton, Kelly, Weissert, Hicks, Bernardino. That's shaky.
Totally.
Yeah. I think he'll be a starter, but he'll start at AAA. But so you need someone. Right. You need someone. I have a feeling. I mean, they went and we don't have Justin Wilson anymore, and he's like 37, 38 years old. I wouldn't mind bringing him back, but but that could be the type of move. It could be another Justin Wilson type guy versus, you know, a relatively prominent late inning guy. But yeah, the other thing that I've always found comical about Pete Fairbanks is he looks like he's having an anxiety attack on the mound. Like his eyes are just like intense, and I don't know. But of all the ones so far, I like him the most.
I don't think that says too much, though, Terry. I mean, the names on this list are just the epitome of non-sexy. And I just don't think that this guy is going to be a fit either. We're talking about not wanting to spend $8 million, but we're going to spend $9 million, so an extra million. But this guy's going to want 2 years, 3 years. It's probably going to be his last proper contract before he just signs one-year deals, unless he absolutely blows it out of the water if you try to do like a prove-it deal. But Fairbanks isn't the guy that's going to get that done. Like, he just isn't consistent enough, and he's just not consistently healthy. A couple of years doesn't get the job done. I think a team will probably spend the 2 years, $18 million. They might go a little higher, maybe 3 years, 27, 3 years, 28. It's just not going to be the Red Sox. You know, short and sweet, it's not Pete. 43 on the list is Sir Anthony Dominguez, 2 years, $18 million, same deal as Pete Fairbanks here. They haven't projected to go to either the Cubs, the Braves, the Blue Jays, or the Athletics. Sir Anthony Dominguez, obviously, as we well know him, pitched for the Baltimore Orioles, then Toronto, and spent the majority of his career before pitching for those two teams in Philadelphia, and was actually a decent reliever at the start of his career and then kind of tailed off a little bit. Didn't play during the COVID year and was trying to refine his form. Was able to find it this year. 30 years old, is able to strike out, you know, more than one an inning. I just don't think the Red Sox are going to be the team to do it, but there will be a team that wants to find that lockdown eighth inning setup guy, and that's going to be him. Terry.
I would absolutely be interested, like I have been with a couple of them so far. Skeptical in terms of them actually doing it, but he does have a nice pedigree and has been solid, has had a couple of stints, as you said, with the Blue Jays. He was with the Blue Jays. A couple of stints with the Orioles, I meant to say. And then, obviously, they were sellers at the deadline this year, but I think you need one. I'd love to see the bar set this high, but you know, as Jeremy keeps saying, you know, we have other needs, and I'm just skeptical that Breslow is going to get it right.
My concern here is if you do the $9 million per that's suggested here by the author of the list, that doesn't leave you much to get an impact third baseman. And that's only one need, but we have a glaring hole at third base, and I think we're going to have to go outside the organization, or we should, we won't. Marcelo Meyer will be your third baseman. I love his strikeout rate. I don't love his walk rate. I think he's the type of guy that Bailey thinks he could have an impact on that walk rate like he has with Chapman. And if John Henry says we'll spend over the cap, this would be a player that I think would interest the Sox. I don't think it's going to happen. And if the budget is what I think it is, which is right underneath that luxury tax, I don't know that the $9 million here is going to hinder your ability to fill out other areas of need.
I don't think there's much to add to that one. I mean, you're seeing the names that are coming across, and they're not blowing you away for a reason. So that's 43. I don't know if we're going to get a steal on any of these names. Tyler Rogers, Orioles, Tigers, Orioles again, or the Mets, 2 years, $18 million. Tyler Rogers is half of the Rogers relieving corps. For those that don't know, I don't know if both of them have a funky delivery, but you got one that's a submariner and just filthy. this guy's been consistently good his really his whole career. He's got a sub three career ERA, 2.76 in 420 career games. Only has 306 strikeouts in 424 innings. He's not a strikeout guy, but he is an outs guy. I can't justify spending, you know, $9 million for this guy. I don't think the Sox are going to do it. There's another one, you know, Tyler Rogers, another reliever that they're just not going to, you know, get, but there's going to be a team out there once again that will probably spend $9 to $10 million to get Tyler Rogers on a 1 to 2 year deal, $18 million for two, nine for one. Jeremy, why don't you go next?
Yeah, this is he's a submariner. I think he tops out mid 80s. Low strikeout rate, low walk rate. I saw a stat. He's never been on the big league disabled list. So he's reliable, 70 innings, five seasons in a row. So the consistency is great. I think you're looking at power arms. You know, this doesn't seem to fit Bailey's system. I wouldn't mind having him on the team just for the oddity of it all, but I don't think this is something that is going to come across Breslow's desk.
So, you know, if we get him, I would be insanely curious to see how it goes. And I wouldn't necessarily hate it. There's a couple other guys we've talked about that I like a little bit more. He reminds me a little bit of Brad Ziegler, and I was a big Ziegler guy. John Farrell and he didn't seem to get along, and he wasn't brought back after that season we traded for him. But where Rogers lacks in the strikeout department, his ground ball rate is elite. Let's see, he got traded last year, so
56.3, I think it was.
Actually, I'm showing 60.7 this year, highest of his career, 55.6 the year before, 52, over 50% ground balls his entire career. And Jeremy, when you say he was never on the injured list, he led Major League Baseball in 2021, 2024, and this past season with most games appeared in, and it was 81 this season, and it was between 77 and 81 across those three. So
that's crazy. He's pitching every other day. So
basically, and he's not a high velo guy, so he can just go out there and sling it. So I would prefer a punch out guy with a little bit of velo over a guy like Rogers, but I don't know. Call me open-minded.
You're open-minded, Terry. Hope that makes you feel a little better. Last on our list of 10 is Luke Weaver, who we saw plenty of in the playoffs, just plenty of in the last, you know, 2 years. Luke Weaver, 2 years, $18 million. Diamondbacks, Mariners, Orioles, and Cubs are where they're projecting him to go. Early 30s reliever. This is a guy who's struck out over 100 guys multiple times in his career. Big strikeout guy. Unfortunately, big and consistent guy too. I mean, in 2024, that was one of the only guys that I'm like, please don't put him in. And then the end of the year came up and he ran out of gas. He just ran out of it. And then this year, he wasn't the same pitcher as he was last year. If you look at the numbers, he actually pitched in more games this year, but he pitched 20 less innings and had almost the same number of earned runs, same number of home runs, couple less walks, but 31 less strikeouts as well. His K9 is 10 plus as it's been for the last 3 years. I just don't think that the Red Sox are going to take on another reclamation project for, you know, what's probably going to end up being 2 years and $20 million. There's going to be a team that'll do it again, another reliever. None of these names necessarily fit the Red Sox issue fix list. And between him and Pete Fairbanks, I actually don't know which one I like more between Luke and him, because if Luke can find himself again and be elite, that's like another Garrett Whitlock, in the bullpen, and you don't have to blow him out. You know, if he only is available for 50 games this year, that's fine. I'd rather him do that for, you know, 50 appearances and be absolutely locked down than try to, you know, blow it up and, you know, be done by the end of September. Jeremy, your take.
I mean, if there's not a market for the player, then fine. You know, 1 year, $6.75 million, whatever. But I don't really want to hear the Sox signing, quote, reclamation projects. Like, that's been their MO, you know, and I talked about it with the starting pitchers as well. You know, you get him at a bargain because he's coming off an injury, Tommy John, whatever. I can't stand that. It's so cheap. And, you know, I want to go sign a guy that they can plug and play and expect what he's been. And I don't know what you're getting from this player. He could be great. He could be a dumpster fire. And it doesn't excite me in any way.
Yeah. So without looking, what was his ERA in the ALDS against the Blue Jays? Best guess.
I read a stat that he let up in three appearances. He allowed six base runners and out of seven at bats. So I'm assuming over nine.
No, it was like 108 or something stupid. They I remember he couldn't get an out, so it was absolutely ridiculous. It might actually be higher. I don't remember.
It was 81. So
he did get an out then. He got an out.
He got cooked pretty good in that series, and he's got his game logs up right now. I want to say the Red Sox beat him up pretty good in a couple of starts this season. So if you're a guy that struggles in the American League East, the last place he needs to go is to another American League East team. So let's just put that one to bed.
Easy. Anything else you guys want to add to that list of sub fun 10 names for the MLB top free agents list?
Jeremy. Yeah, the Sox should be involved in the top 10 to 20 guys and not looking at the bottom of this list unless it fits a very specific need. No one we talked about tonight fits one of those needs. So if you want to compete, against the Blue Jays and the Yankees next year and ascend with the young core, then we need to be talking about either going and trading for guys that are not on this list or seriously spending money on the top guys.
I don't think there's anything else that we could put to make that a cherry on top statement. Terry, anything you want to add?
No, not really. We're going to do part two tomorrow night, part three on Tuesday. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see those all live as they go. If you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're going to stagger them out on those apps throughout the week, so you won't necessarily get them right away. But if you do, go to YouTube and you can get it.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for the Bastards of Boston Baseball. For daily content, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can go to check out some fun articles. Everyone have a great one. Take care.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 daily double meal deal, each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. There's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's. For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.